all the good people at Democracy Now! For bringing us the news we need to hear each and every day, weekday, here on KKCR, one of the great programming pieces we bring to you, and we encourage you to pledge your support for Kauai Community Radio. Right now, it's time for In the Garden on the Farm. You're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K284 AL Haleiwa, K224 CQ in Anahola.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, and welcome to In the Garden on the Farm, your weekly radio program that cultivates the passion and knowledge to grow well with plants and animals. We're your hosts, Robin and Paul, and on today's show, we will take a visit to Molokai for the Hawaii Public Seed Initiative Annual Gathering, spice things up with a kissing cousin of the Java plum tree, and pick our way through proper harvesting techniques. But first, we'd like to let you know that this KKCR program is made possible by listeners like you, in partnership with our generous underwriters.
Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe in Hanalei is proud to support KKCR and its Ohana, offering organic groceries and produce, a cafe featuring fresh salad bar, hot meals and soups, fresh-made smoothies, and baked goods. Located in the heart of Hanalei, Harvest Market Natural Foods and Cafe, 826-0089.
Kauai Marine and Mower, located in Old Kapa'a Town, is proud to underwrite this KKCR program. Kauai Marine and Mower features Honda garden and lawn equipment and also Echo Power Equipment. 823-0556.
Anahola Stringed Instruments is proud to support KKCR. Mickey Sussman has been building Island Koa guitars, ukulele, and violins on Kauai since 1972. Time-honored design and special orders. Prompt and complete restoration, repair, and reforestation. AnaholaStringedInstruments.com or 822-1645.
The Kauai store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kasilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Yes, thank you to all our underwriters. Super grateful for those guys.
Yes, and thank you to our listeners for being here with us today on this very fine day.
It is, and Robin and I have prepared a full show for you today, but we really need to let you know that these series of full shows we do are only possible with the generous donation of our listeners. We've set a goal for the show, which is just an hour long, at $800. And we want to thank Jason so much for getting us off to a good start with a $100 donation. So much thanks to him from the Big Island. But we are $700 to go, and we want to encourage you please to give us a call at 826-7771 or 826-7774 or off-island 866-275-1112 with your generous donation. You'll be getting so much aloha and appreciation for keeping us on the air. And the person who answers the phone can tell you some more details about some of the premiums you can get for your certain levels of donation. But we really appreciate every bit of help we can get.
Yes, and thank goodness we have those volunteers waiting by the phones, because Paul and I are going to take a trip up into the celestial skies like we do the beginning of every single show.
Yes, and why do we do that, Robin?
We do that because the planets and the moon in general affect the way our plants grow and all things to do with them, the way the fluid moves through the plants. It's pretty fascinating science. I've been in what I call night school for about 10 years now, trying to sit out at night and watch and see what I can observe just with my eyes. No tools required. Seasons, as the seasons shift, and of course there's deeper cycles and bigger cycles that are impossible to see from that perspective. But fun to watch nonetheless.
It is, and helpful too. And we do live in the golden age of knowledge, where we have access to research and observations that people have been making over millennia. So we will start with the Hawaiian moon phase of the day, brought to us today by the 2015 Hanalei Moon and Tide Calendar, produced by the Hanalei Watershed HUI along with several collaborators. And as well, the U.S. Naval Observatory provides our precise rising, transit, and setting times for the moon. And today's Hawaiian moon, Kaloa Kukahi, Kaloa Kukahi, rose over Kauai at 2:16 a.m. this morning. She reached her transit, or highest point in the sky, at 8:49 a.m., when I almost stepped out to look straight up in the sky, and we had a bit of clear sky above Kalihiwai, but unfortunately, I just got distracted, so I really need to maybe set an alarm in my phone to get me out looking at the sky a bit more often. At any rate, I do still have a chance, because this Kaloa Kukahi does not set until 3:19 p.m. this afternoon. 22% of the moon's beautiful face is illuminated at this time. We have the new moon coming up on Monday the 12th at 2:06 p.m. local time. And the guidance, or the mana'o first, on Kaloa Kukahi, it's the first of three Kaloa moons in the Emi, or diminishing Anahulu, or Hawaiian moon week. It is the 24th moon in the Hawaiian lunar cycle, and is said by the excellent reference Native Planters of Old Hawaii to have been associated with a mild kapu back in ancient times, since this moon is sacred to the god Kanaloa, the ocean god. Now, some of the kinolau, or physical embodiments that Kanaloa will take forms here in the 4D universe that we inhabit, would be the moana, the ocean, he'e, the octopus, Muhe'e, the squid, and then notably in the plant world, Mai'a, the banana, is a form of Kanaloa. So the planting recommendations for today: it is a good time for planting bamboo for braiding hats. Plant plants with long stems like Mai'a, banana, Ko, the sugar cane, Vake, paper mulberry, and Ohe, the bamboo, for they will grow long. Uala and Uhi will run to long vines. Hala, the pandanus tree, will develop long leaves.
Way cool.
And that's all going on today.
Yeah, well, no, that makes sense that long leaves on a hala would make weaving hats or mats easier if
yes.
you just had single long leaves than having to patch together a whole lot of short ones.
Yes.
So I can see how functional planting that on today would be.
Indeed. And while we're on the subject of hala, I do want to mention that we have a new pest alert on. Mm-hmm. It's a hala scale. So it's a scale insect. Don't know if it's here on Kauai because I heard about it on Molokai, which we'll talk about in a minute. But apparently it's getting spread. It was spread to Oahu by a lau hala weaver who had collected a bunch of material on the Big Island and brought it home, and then it got escaped. So especially important for lau hala weavers to know that there is a potential pest outbreak that needs to be you need to be ma'an, be able to understand, identify, and avoid spreading this potentially dangerous pest.
Yeah, you know, the scales, they're getting worse. I mean, in the last 10 years or so, and I've been observing more closely, but God, they just crop up everywhere. So there's a pretty nasty pest, and we want to make sure we keep those out of our gardens and not spread them around.
So, Robin, what's going on in the biodynamic world?
In the biodynamic world, it is in the descending moon phase, so this is planting time for all intensive purposes. Although, according to Matthias Thun's readings, today and tomorrow are unproductive for planting, although the moon is in the sign of Leo. So really, if we're not going to be out there planting, there's various other things we can do, such as pick up the telephone, call KKCR, talk to your friendly volunteers, or some other projects in the garden like weeding and stuff. But if you get tired of that, just pick up the phone, call 826-7771. by tomorrow, or by Friday, rather, the moon's staying in Leo, but more productive for planting. So as a fire sign, that'd be a good time to work with fruiting plants. So fruiting plants such as tomatoes. I wouldn't say cucumbers at this time of year. Perhaps some squash are pretty timely at this time of year. And then Saturday, the moon will move into Virgo for that new moon. All the way through Tuesday, the moon takes that nice long stay in Virgo. So that's an earth sign, making it a good time to plant our root plants. So here we are in the fall. We can maybe do some turnips, some beets, carrots, and then, of course, kalo, sweet potato, good choices through the weekend. So Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, got plenty of time to dig in the earth.
Mm. I was thinking about squash, and I've been noticing that the chayote is going off right now. So that being a seed that needs to be planted straight away, you just plant the whole fruit, really. It's a timely plant, and you're really ultimately almost transplanting it because they so often sprout when they're still attached to the plant, yeah?
Totally.
So might be good Thursday, Friday, yeah?
Friday. Friday in particular is good for our fruit plants.
Great.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about harvest coming up in the later part of the show. But we do want to let you know, too, we're running a Kalkani Challenge. KKCR presents to us in celebration of our 18 years of service to the community. KKCR is seeking 18 donations of $1,000 each. We have one so far, so there's a lot of challenge left to go. Kalkani Challenge pledges will get the opportunity to guest DJ an hour of music on their favorite KKCR program.
Cool.
And to receive an invitation to a private dinner party at Tiki Aniki, hosted by Michelle Rundgren. The Kalkani Challenge, a grand way to support your community radio, KKCR. And certainly if we have a garden show listener who'd like to take the Kalkani Challenge, we would love to have you in the studio sometime to enjoy the show with us. So
yeah,
please consider that. And please consider donating generously by calling the studio at 826-7771. And we're going to move on to some notable news in the world of agriculture. And this is some news that I'm happy to be bringing back from the island of Molokai. I went over there a couple of weekends ago with Ken Lindsay, who I collaborate with there at Waikoa Plantation, doing various planting projects, but it's all about seed. We went over for the Hawaii Public Seed Initiative annual gathering. And thanks so much to the Cirrus Trust that funds the majority of that work that we do. The Hawaii Public Seed Initiative was founded in 2010, and it's been running strong ever since under the strong guidance of the Kohala Center on the Big Island. And, gosh, we had about 20 people. We went over to the beautiful Pu'uohoku Ranch, a 13,000-acre ranch. I think it's about a third of the island. And we were hosted there by the staff. Mark there has started a small seed business.
Excellent.
They just had the first run of their seed envelopes, and we visited his seed garden and his seed processing room, so it's a real deal. We're going to have real organic vegetable seed coming out of Molokai, I would imagine, by the new year. So that's pretty
far out. That is
very
just
cool.
A great part of the update right there that makes me so happy.
Yeah, they've taken the jump. And it's really nice to see the development of the group. It's where it started out with, you know, a lot of people with just a very general or even peripheral interest in seeds. It really has winnowed down to...
No pun intended.
No pun intended. It just came right out. But it has winnowed down to, like, some pretty serious commercial farmers and people who really know what they're doing. And then the core group of researchers and instructors from the University of Hawaii's College of Tropical Agriculture. So it's a good team. It's a really strong team. And we're exploring developing a seed cooperative where farmers or producers, it could even be a backyard gardener, can produce seed and put it into this system, an online system, that brings it to the marketplace. And thanks to Lynn Howe of the Kohala Center, We've received an adequate USDA grant to help fund a 2-year pilot program to bring us in that direction.
Excellent.
Which will help to reimburse farmers who do variety trials and then seed grow outs and the beginning of the development of this online resource tool to have an online marketplace all in one place for Hawaii grown organic seed.
I love it. You know, for those of us gardeners out there, seed is always the thing. You know, you need to have really good quality seed. We want to grow organic gardens, so we want organic seed. And knowing that it can come right here from within the state and doesn't have to be shipped in from other places, potentially carrying who knows, you know, what, maybe pathogens along with it that we're unaware of and acclimated to our climate. I'm just so thrilled.
It was good. There were a lot of good presentations. Forrest Schomer of Inside Pasture Seed, a former founder of Abundant Life Seed, one of the first organic seed companies really in the renaissance of seed companies back in the 70s. He was sort of like the main guest lecturer, and it was the perfect venue for him to share his gifts. We've had him here on the Garden Show before. He's an advisor for Regenerations, but this was really his, it was the perfect stage for him because it was everything he had to share was exactly what we needed to hear about how to start and run a small seed business. And so lots of great developments there. Want to direct people to the Hawaii Public Seed Initiative website. And you can do that by going to kohalacenter.org/HPSI, or you could just do an internet search for Hawaii Public Seed Initiative, and you'll get the result. Really nice website. And one of the particular projects that's listed there is a seed variety selection tool for the Hawaiian Islands. So this is a project that was funded through a mini-grant program, again, thanks to the Ceres Trust. That's C-E-R-E-S, Ceres Trust. And this is the beginning of a powerful database that will allow us to look up particular vegetable varieties that perform well in our particular region. Well, what region do we live in? Oftentimes people use the USDA zone map, but it's not really applicable to Hawaii. We know that Hawaii has this extremely particular layout of topography and resulting rainfall.
Absolutely, and micro ecosystems, you know, little rain shadows, certain places, so we can really dial in the region, maybe more like in the traditional sense of the ahu pua'a, even for certain areas that tend to get, you know, similar rainfalls. Yeah. But then there's also elevations in there that would make a difference too. Yeah,
it does. And so there's a great mapping effort that's been made to create some new zones for Hawaii in terms of the growing regions. And so we're kind of in the lowland mesic growing region. And it's so interesting to see how much there is of that on Kauai. But when you look at the other Hawaiian islands, that's actually a relatively smaller part of some of the other main Hawaiian islands. And, for instance, in terms of rainfall, we get heavy rainfall in the center of our island, of course, at Wai'ale'ale and Kawaikini. But if you look at the Big Island and even Maui, there are places where that heavy, heavy rain goes all the way to the coastline. And we don't have anything mm-hmm. like that on Kauai. So we can begin to network. Now the people in this Public Seed Initiative network can begin to look at similar growing regions and be trading seeds and working collaboratively thanks to this tool. Well, now the tool is available for your use, and I encourage gardeners and farmers who want to contribute to the effort to again visit kohalacenter.org/HPSI, and you'll see on the sidebar there a link to the seed variety selection tool for the Hawaiian Islands. And thanks to Ilana, who's been developing that, and we're going to have her on as a guest on the show coming up soon. And just to segue into another call for donations for KKCR, I mean, we say our show, but it's really the station. There's so much. When we get, it's kind of like when you go to the station, it's kind of like getting on a ship. There is so much going on, and we may just be stepping on to what's the name of the part of the ship where you steer the ship? It's the deck. It's the, mm-hmm. at any rate, the cabin. that's not quite right either. I'm really embarrassed. But at any rate, we're stepping onto the helm of the ship, and Dean knows the word, so he's jumping in. But the point being is that there are so many interworking pieces to this beautiful ship to keep it afloat. And we're just super grateful to have this opportunity, and it gives efforts like the Hawaii Public Seed Initiative an alternative seed growing effort that doesn't get the kind of exposure that some of the multinational seed companies can bring with their gigantic budgets. KKCR is such an amazing partner to these nonprofit and alternative efforts that ultimately are working to make our quality of life better here in Hawaii. So much thanks to this station. It's a really powerful tool. We're trying to use it, that power, in the correct way. And in order to do so, we need your help.
Yes, so please give us a call. Support KKCR right now with your membership pledge. We have plenty of volunteers waiting here to take your calls. There's some premiums that you can receive as gifts for pledging. And you can call our telephone, our local telephone number, 826-7774, 826-7771. Or if you're off island, be 866-275-1112. Or alternately, if you're on your computer, go to kkcr.org and click the donate tab, and you can click right donate right online like that. We are definitely looking forward to helping the station out during our shows here during this fall fun drive. So thanks so much ahead of time for your call and your support.
Indeed. And we want to thank those who have already donated on our show today: Hikari, Harvest, and Jason. Thank you so much. And we're already on our way to our $800 goal. So please keep us heading in the right direction. We really appreciate it. And right now we're going to take a look. Oh, there was one more thing I wanted to say about the Hawaii Public Seed Initiative trip, is that we were able to return to the Molokai Agricultural Research Station run by Maui College and the University of Hawaii's College of Tropical Agriculture, where they grow the complete collection of Hawaiian taro varieties.
Mm.
We were a week late, and it's amazing the stampede of people that must have come through to carry away all that huli, because there was only a little bit left. But we were able to collect 8 varieties that we didn't formerly have here on Kauai. We planted them at the seed center and in Kalihiwai, and we're going to have some new varieties to share coming up at the spring seed exchange. So people have been asking about the seed exchange. We're still trying to hammer out something out in November on the west side, but it's not a total green light yet. But we certainly will be doing a full run back here on the North Shore in the springtime. We're even looking at doing a 2-day event with a workshop preceding the seed exchange. So definitely haven't fallen off the map. We're just real busy making sure that when we bring it to you again, it's going to be better than ever.
Excellent. Well, you know, when you talk about taro and then the seed selection tool, I think of all the plants that we grow here in our gardens, taro seems to me one of those that is so region specific. The varieties developed because of environmental conditions in certain places. And if I'm correct, Paul, is it they were named according to sometimes where they were growing?
Less
what
often.
What kind of
yes.
climate they were growing in, perhaps?
Well, less often, but again, the kauna or the meaning of the Hawaiian names can run so deep that even if we think we understand the first layer, there could be so much more to be discovered or is known by some that we will hopefully learn. And right now we're joined by Donovan, a great programmer here at KKCR who helps lead off the Wednesday show. And we also have Brother Andrew, and I'm going to try to get all the mics going on here.
Aloha.
Yeah.
Aloha mai kako. Aloha to everyone.
Aloha.
Yeah, so we just wanted to jump in here real quick and mahalo everybody who's tuning into the Garden Show. It's a wonderful program, and I'm kind of honored to be able to be on before these guys in the live format. You know, of course, Democracy Now! Is on. And I got a little message I'm going to share with everyone, particularly those who have never given before to our radio station. If you've never given before, please know that KKCR has been here for you because someone else took the step to go from being a listener of KKCR to being a member. Today we're asking you to join them by becoming a new member as well. Your contribution will help pay for the hours of programming you will enjoy over the next year, and it'll ensure that KKCR's unique programming will be here for the next person to discover. So you can take the step of calling us. It only takes a few numbers or a few minutes. The number to call is 826-7774 or 826-7771. And it's because of all the folks who did take the action of becoming a member that we get to provide our community with all these various programs. It's one of the most diverse programming schedules that you'll find almost anywhere, actually, in my opinion. And I know that many of you will agree. And so we want to mahalo everybody who are currently members and encourage those who are not currently members to jump on board, become a member. There's so many unique ways that you can become a volunteer and participate in the program. And the best place to learn more about us is to go to kkcr.org, kkcr.org, and you can also donate there because we have a donate button.
Yeah.
So. All right. All right. Thank you. And, you know, I like to say thank you to the people that has already donated, you know. Harvest, John from Kapa'a, and actually, wait, Hikari from Kapa'a.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mahalo. And him and the family really like this show, and you, Paul, and thank you very much. And they also wanted to support the people here in Hawaii. So mahalo again, Hikari, and your family. And what was that, Harvest in Koloa? Is that Kilauea? Kilauea.
Awesome.
And John.
Yes, okay. Please. Thank you so much. And it's an honor to have the Hawaiians here standing strong with us, setting a firm foundation on Wednesday with Himene o Hawaii and the Songs of Sovereignty, two great shows that really catapult us and give us that foundation, because we're here to perpetuate in any way we can, but we count on the Kanaka Maoli to give us the guidance of what to perpetuate. Mm-hmm. And so, and we were just talking about Kalo, and before me stands the Makua and the Oha, and this beautiful multi-generational effort you guys are bringing. Yeah.
You know, Paul, I really appreciate this show, you know, because I've been on the show going on 8 years now, and when I first started, my thing was like the Hawaiian community, and at that time, when I seen what JMO was doing, I decided that was one of, if not going to be one of the majors for us, for everybody around the world, which we're looking at today. You know, so I love your show because we're learning how to grow our own food. And, you know, once we start growing our own food, we're going to be free of all of this stuff, you know. So Kanakas, everybody, subjects, you know, that loved our queen and our people and that keep on supporting us, you know.
And you do your research very well, and you guys have really proven to be a valuable resource to our community. And because this radio station exists, you guys have an outlet to share your great mana'o. Otherwise, it'd be a real, real word-of-mouth opportunity. Mm-hmm. You would really have to know somebody and be involved in the circle. But through this media, we get to expand out of our usual circles and touch so many people all around and share our wisdom and mana'o. And what you guys bring to this show with your connection to the roots and culture of Hawaii'i in the tradition of cultivation and growing, it's a value to us. And we have confidence that knowledge is being shared about the world in the community. So mahalo to you guys. And keep
yeah.
Strong.
Yeah.
And again, you guys... who love the radio station and want more, give us a ring ding on the telephone.
Keep the phones
ringing, 826-777-1, 826-7774. Mahalo, you guys. Aloha.
Yes. Aloha. Donovan, thank you. You know, I am filled with gratitude that the station, you're so right, that people who became members helped the station be what it is, gives us, Paul and I, the opportunity to share what we can share with people, and we know it's going to get out there on the airwaves with all of the dedicated volunteers keeping us on the air, you know, when the towers need work. There's so many things that go into keeping a radio station going. And just during this 10 days, we're focusing on membership and community participation to help keep us going. So we love the calls. We love hearing it. And I don't know, my heart's filled with gratitude.
We're big fans of direct action. Yeah. And this is one of the best direct action actions that you can do, just reaching into your deep pocket that's only, like, you know, not that deep. I know,
cool.
Because I live
anything.
Here, and
I know what the situation can be
like. The pocket feels deeper when there's not very much left.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You know, but we do have the opportunity to become a sustaining member so that you can donate a little bit at a time throughout the year. We can arrange automatic withdrawals. Then the burden isn't as heavy. And again, you know, we can't express to our community the level of gratitude that we have to be able to be a part of this. And knowing, in particularly, that it's because of our listeners and our supporters that keep this station going, that give us these opportunities.
Yes, so come on, help us reach the goal today for this show is $800. And we had four callers. We need more.
We're halfway there.
We're halfway, 325 right now. We're halfway. So here we are. Brother Lou,
by the phone.
I mean, brother Don and I, my son and I are on the phone.
All
love
right.
you guys.
Mahalo, guys.
Mahalo.
Awesome. Wow, we've got some serious backup right now.
Yes,
so,
it feels
please
great.
Please pick up the phone. We hear a lot every week. I know Robin and I both hear from people who listen to the station, who listen to our show and tell us that they really appreciate it. So to each one of those people, think about how much this show is worth to you. And even if it's only a few bucks, please pick up the phone and give us a donation. We really appreciate it. It builds the community. It builds the total amount that we get, but it really gives us that message that we're, you know, we are bringing value to you.
Yeah, you can give that appreciation back to us.
Yes.
You know?
Indeed.
It just keeps going back and forth.
Yes. So, Robin, how about we jump ahead to our feature?
Sure.
And in this month, we're really excited. In the month of October, we're going to focus in on harvest, post-harvest processing. Basically, what do you do to get your yield out of your garden or farm? And then what do you do with it? And so we're going to take you through all the steps. We're going to run through recipes by the end of the month. It's going to be really informative and great. And today, we're going to start right off in the harvest section, since it is the harvest moon.
Harvest moon, indeed. And there's a few things to think about when we think about harvesting, if we want to harvest properly. I'm going to address the vegetable crops first. And there's a few prongs. The first one that I think is important to talk about is maturity, the maturity of the produce itself. So let's think about that. Some things are better when they're left to fully mature, to really flavor out, like a red bell pepper tastes better than a young green bell pepper, at least in my humble opinion. So when you let them come to a full maturity, they're going to build their sugars and their sweetness, yellow peppers, of course. Squash comes to mind, too. A prematurely picked squash will be nice, a little starchy maybe, doesn't get a chance to really develop its sweetness profile.
I want to stop you right there on peppers. I'm so glad you used that as the lead-off, because I do know that sometimes you harvest frying peppers.
Correct.
And I believe you are harvesting them when they're green. Is that true?
Super young and immature. It's true.
Okay, so tell us about that
yes, absolutely.
Thought process.
Yeah, so there's varieties of peppers that are considered frying peppers. I can rattle off a few names. The shishito, very popular Japanese hors d'oeuvre pepper, pupu pepper. The fushimi, another one. Padrones are very famous in Spain and Portugal. That's basically a jalapeno that's been grown out there to lose most of its heat. And these are these frying peppers you want to pick extremely young and immature, very immature. In fact, so immature that the seeds inside are not hard yet. They're barely even formed, and that's the key right there, because you're going to eat them whole after frying them on the grill quickly or in a dry skillet, and you don't want to be crunching on the seeds. It changes the whole texture. You want this really young pepper.
That makes me think of eggplant and the harvest consideration there.
Indeed. Same exact thing goes for eggplant, and in my humble opinion, cucumbers as well. You know, it's always interesting. Man, the cucumber was like a baseball bat. It was so big. But really, you kind of missed the boat, in my opinion, if your cucumber got to be the size of a child's baseball bat. Really, you know, 8 inches, 10 inches long, slender, when, again, the seeds have not formed. On a large cucumber, still eat it, and usually you just scoop out the seeds because they're hard and chewy and they're not as palatable. I can think of other things, other produce that's best when picked very young. Bok choy, lettuce, even baby kale, young Swiss chard leaves. I mean, these are delicious. Going into the roots, there's radishes and turnips. Radishes known to be much better when they're very young and tender before they get bigger and older and woodier.
Right.
And so...
Okra.
Okra, again, another one to pick really young. And I want to talk about how to actually pick the produce and what tools are involved as I go along here. But then so I talked about ones that you'd want to mature fully. I prefer a papaya that's been ripened well on the plant than a papaya that was picked kind of immature and then will turn orange on your counter, but again, doesn't develop the flavor profile. But then there's ones that are kind of consider in between, or fruits, plants that are bigger is better, like a tomato or a leek. Or an onion. I mean, you want some size there. Shallots, even beets or carrots. You know, you want a decent size on them. Again, with the roots, being careful not to let them go too long that you get stringy fibers or woodiness going on. There's sort of a perfect time. And my personal opinion is trial and error. Pick one. See how it is. See how big it is. You know, taste it. See if its flavors have developed. So mature, there's maturity. I mean, that's basically, there's plenty of other vegetables to talk about, but that gives a general sense of it. And then I want to look at the lunar aspect. So we talk a lot in our celestial session. We're very tuned into the effects that both the planets and the moon in particular have on our gardening, and they do have an effect on harvest too. So the best days for harvesting are the same as the best days for sowing, as in flower plants on air signs or flower days, and fruits, harvesting fruits on fire sign days or fruit days. Leaf days, however, are an exception, because veggies harvested on those days tend to rot. Leaf days are, if I'll remind you, on water sign days. So when the moon is in a watery sign, there's more water afoot, and you'll generally have things go to rot a little faster. So the biodynamic folks promote harvesting leafy things, and especially, say, cabbage on a flower day, because that's going to help it keep better. Now, again, what I'm talking about here is kind of more about storage, harvesting for something you're not going to eat right away. You can't eat a whole cabbage, I mean, unless you're having a party. You'll cook up a whole cabbage, but generally when you harvest the cabbage, it might take you a week or two to go through the whole thing. I guess I'm talking to backyard gardeners here. So if the produce is going straight to the kitchen, any day, any time, as fresh as possible is the best time to pick it.
And it should go to the kitchen where you can wash it rather than eating it straight off the plant.
Absolutely. Always a good idea. Slugs, snails, rats. We all heard about the rat lungworm some years ago. There are definitely some bad guys out there that you don't, and worms of different kinds too that can affect us. So another thing to look at is we talk about the ascending moon and the descending moon. And so with fruit plants, we'd like to harvest on the ascending moon, right? Because that's the whole idea in the ascending moon. The energy of in the plant is moving upwards. It's towards the fruit. It's going to be in the fruit. And that's a great time to be harvesting it. Alternately, roots on root days during the descending moon is best. So say you're going to pickle a bunch of beets or radishes or something. You want to pick them on the descending moon on root days. And the time of day that you harvest can actually also affect your produce, again, mostly for storage. In the morning, the plant forces are streaming upward from below, so that's when we'd like to harvest. It's always better to harvest our leaves in the mornings. Like if we're going to make salads that day, kale, you notice midday, basically not really recommended for harvesting. Your leaves are already a little bit limp, and they're not going to hang in there and stay pumped. But if you pick them in the morning, you can have a head of lettuce in your fridge for a few days, and nothing will happen to it. In the afternoon, alternately, the plant forces stream from above downward, so this is a time that we'd want to look at harvesting our roots, as there's more energy, and that's a daily flux that goes up and down. And then real quickly, I just want to talk about weather, because, yeah, we can have all these correct lunar signs and you picked the right month and this and that. But if it's dumping rain, probably not a great idea to be harvesting things, because, you know, rain and excess water is going to promote rot in your plants. And just to, you know, I am kind of jumping into the tree thing here, which Paul's going to discuss more about tree crops. But please don't get on a ladder when the wind is howling. It's really not a smart idea, talking about weather conditions, you know. We need to...
Many people should never be on a ladder under any circumstances.
True, but certainly if the weather's, you know, dodgy and it's really windy, you want to avoid having to pick super high. Anyway, fair weather is the best for harvesting. So that's my little wrap on harvesting of vegetable crops.
Awesome. Thank you, Robin. All coming from direct experience, people. This is not what Robin has read out of the book. My information definitely was sourced from the internet, along with a little bit of personal practice. But basically, I'm going to talk about the fruit tree crops. The most important time to harvest, of course, before the critters get them.
Yes.
So it goes fast, doesn't it, if you turn your back?
Absolutely.
You know, they're there 24/7, and you're maybe busy with your life. So.
And we say critters, that can mean anything from a fruit fly to a rat climbing around in your avocado or mango tree, or even chickens, who I have seen fly up into the trees and start eating the fruits. And then, of course, other smaller birds who love fruit are up there getting down on those mangoes, the ones you can't reach.
Even the neighbor's kids could be involved in some unauthorized harvesting. So we want to get out there on time. We want to pay attention, and this goes to the maturity that Robin started out with, the concept of climacteric and non-climacteric fruit. Hmm. So the difference, it turns out, is based on the respiration and ethylene production in different kinds of fruits. Some fruits, if ethylene is produced from the fruit, like think of a banana as a classic example.
Or apples.
Or apples. They will ripen. And so other fruits are not affected in that way, or do not actually respire much after they're picked. And so those fruits actually need to be at their full ripeness before you pick them. So I'm going to go through some examples. These would be climacteric fruits, fruits that will ripen after you pick them. Ulu, soursop, papaya, mango, banana, avocado, guava, lilikoi, durian, and dragon fruit. However...
So you can pick them on a little bit on the slightly on the immature side and let them ripen.
Correct.
In your countertop or your fruit ripening box.
Exactly. And I'm gonna take back the dragon fruit. I'm not sure. I think that might be non-climacteric. Non-climacteric fruits for sure include citrus. And that's one that people will most often, it seems, pick before they're ripe. Orange trees on the Nepali coast are often referred to as greens rather than oranges because people just can't help themselves or just don't know when the right time to pick is. Some other non-climacteric fruits that must be fully ripe before you harvest them or they just won't ripen. Suriname cherry, star fruit, mountain apple, cacao, lychee, rambutan, longan, star apple, mangosteen, and our beloved Rilinia. So it turns out that often non-climacteric fruits are hard to ship. That's obvious because if you have to wait until they're fully ripe, they're going to be softer, more prone to bruising, or to getting overripe during a shipment process. That's why many of our delicious fruits are kind of not known outside of the tropical regions is because there's so many of them are non-climacteric. However, nuts are an exception to that. You can't pick a nut early and have it be good, but they're pretty good at shipping. So that's a way to get around it that way. Biodynamically speaking, Robin already talked about the effects of the different constellations on harvest of various parts of vegetables, but I was grateful to see recommendations on seed harvest in the biodynamic calendar. And so if we're doing fruit harvest and seed for fruit plants, that is during fruit times, which would be the warm constellations of Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. And that would be, I thought I saw Thursday and Friday of this week, so tomorrow and Friday as times that would be good for harvesting fruits or
Correct.
Fruit for seed. If you're doing seed for leaf plants, this would be contrary to the recommendation you gave because harvesting seed for leaf plants is good in the water constellations of Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio, especially during a water trine, apparently. And then seed for flower plants during flower times, which would be the light constellations of Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Seed for root plants when the moon is in an earth constellation of Taurus, Virgo, and Capricorn. So good to think about that. As far as the Hawaiian moon goes, there is the 13th moon called Hua, which means seed or fruit or ovum. Surely this would be an auspicious moon to harvest fruit. Whether or not that is borne out in terms of its storage ability, I couldn't say. But it certainly would be an auspicious time to harvest Hua or fruit. As far as species-specific recommendations, you really have to get to know your plant. I'll run through just a few examples. For avocado, there's a lot of difference in the varieties. You really have to get to know your trees, get to know the variety, or oftentimes, like me, you have seed-borne plants that aren't any variety. It's a seedling tree, and you really have to learn over a series of seasons what a ripe fruit looks like. But oftentimes, the skin will dull. It will either lighten or darken, depending on the genetics of it. The stem often turns brown, but sometimes it's already brown. So you really have to know your avocado. Indicator of ripeness can also be that larger fruit dropped off the tree or is beginning to drop as long as it wasn't caused by wind or other damage to the tree. Then we'll look at breadfruit, the ulu, the pedicel, which is the stem that connects the fruit to the stem of the plant, does turn brown. The fruit will get beads of latex on it. The skin will kind of turn yellow, and it'll go from a shinier appearance to the skin to smoother, to duller, rather, in appearance. But it also gets smoother. If you've looked at a junior ulu, they've got all those little dimples
bumps
on it, and that kind of they all kind of spread out. So that's a good way for ulu. Of course, ulu can be eaten at any stage, but we like to get them just before they get soft because you just get the most flavor profile, as Robin is encouraging us to do.
Yeah, maturity is important like that. I definitely go with the latex drops on the outside of the ulu because I've learned my ma'afala tree over a couple seasons now.
Yeah.
And I know when she's turning a little yellow and it's got that latex on the outside, that's the perfect time to pick it.
Yes, Thank you to the Ma'afal. I've been enjoying those lately. Thank you so much, Diane, from the Breadfruit Institute for that amazing variety, which is now all over the Hawaiian Islands. Mango is one people might be interested to know. And again, it's in the indicators vary so widely based on the variety of tree that you have. Are you harvesting the mangoes to pickle them? Do you want them ripe? Oftentimes there is a color change, but you really never know. You just have to know your tree. So it's calling us into a greater relationship with our specific trees to know what the right time to harvest is. And more examples, but I want to just direct people toward a great publication where I got some of this information. Quick Harvest and Post-Harvest Tips for Better Quality and Longer Post-Harvest Life by Ken Love from the Hawaii Tropical Fruit Growers Association and several other contributors. This is a CTAR publication available online, thanks to the College of Tropical Agriculture.
Well, I'd like to put a call out for some harvesting right now. We're harvesting funds for KKCR. So I think our picker pole just walked into the room here.
Yeah,
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Oh, I cannot hear myself, but that's okay. Oh, now I can hear myself. Wonderful. We're almost, 10 minutes left to the garden show. Almost less than 10 minutes, actually. And we're more than halfway with the goal. I don't have a total tally yet, but we just took another $250 donation.
Oh, mahalo, everybody.
Your friend and our friend, Buffy St. Marie, called in and wants to send her aloha to the two of you guys.
Thank you, Buffy.
We love you, Buffy. You're the greatest.
We love her. She's awesome.
She's easy to love.
I dig it. And it's your last opportunity so far for the garden show to give us a call, because they're going to be doing their top of the hour business. And I know you love hearing all about trees and growing stuff like I do. You can give us a call at 826-7771. Pledge your support of Kauai Community Radio. Become a member and get involved in all the wonderful activities that are going on here. Uh-huh. Daddy, you want to say anything?
Five more minutes left, and you know.
Wow,
we still here. Five more minutes. One angel would put us there.
Yeah. All right, let's.
Would put us there.
Let's,
thank you guys.
Thank you. Well, I just want to talk quickly about picking apparatuses picking tools, and I think probably the picker basket with the padded, you know, little foam pad in the bottom is nice. What I've done is either get a really long piece of bamboo, or I like to go to, like, the Home Depot paint department and get, like, the longest extension pole I can get for people who paint houses. And that gets you nice up there in the tree, especially with an orchard ladder. But
and that picker basket, is this something that you... Do you mean just the orange cage?
The orange cage.
It is ubiquitous.
The basket, yes. Yeah. Exactly. However, I also like the pick and hold clipper.
Oh, yeah.
Is really nice. That one's awesome for, like, lychee and longan, like, whole racks of fruit, because it clips and it actually hangs onto the rack from way up there, and you can bring it gently to the ground, and you don't just have a crash and your fruit's going all over the place.
Keep it sharp, people, because if you let that blade on the picker, holder, pruner, extender, then it's stuck in the top of the tree because it didn't quite cut through the branch.
Right,
so
got it.
Good to keep them sharp.
And clean, because a lot of our fruits have sap and stuff, and they're going to goo up your thing anyway. But probably the most specialized picking tool I can possibly think of is the one that you basically have to build yourself for your breadfruit tree. And using a fishing net, you know, a fishing with a small kind fishing net like you'd use on the shore, and a small sickle and your extender pole, if you get all of your engineering correct, you can get it so that you can slice the breadfruit stem with the sickle and it'll fall right into your fishing net.
Yeah.
I've built one. It's probably not the top of the line one, but it really was fun trying to figure that out.
Super cool.
Have you ever made one, Paul?
I've not. No, but I sure appreciate a serrated knife at the end of a pole for all kinds of good activities.
Yeah.
And just a couple more suggestions here. Even a hooked stick where the hook is facing you is good for grabbing things out of a tree. Of course, your hand is a pretty good tool. And I'm thinking especially of citrus and white sapote is just two examples of things that you can kind of bend back and forth a little bit. If the fruit pops right off, it's ready. If it's still holding onto the tree, it still wants more energy from the tree and shouldn't be yanked off the tree because you're going to suffer in the
in
the flavor profile department.
A little squeeze and a twist.
Yep.
If it gives, it gives. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah. Isn't that what we're doing right here?
Our listeners
right now
got 5 minutes. We're $50 away from your guys' show goal.
Okay.
Which is pretty huge because you guys had 1 hour and you got...
Please give us a call.
Yeah, please.
Yes, we love it. Now, for small garden stuff, I adore my small, pointed, and sharp bonsai scissors for cutting those young peppers, immature frying peppers off the plant and things like that without damaging my pepper plants. Peppers can be brittle. If you yank, you can just break a branch off pretty easy.
Don't forget the orchard ladder for getting up to a safe location to do your pruning. Of course, the tree stands, invaluable to people who harvest coconuts.
Yes.
And a rope obviously can come in handy there. A tarp is also really helpful if you're harvesting, maybe shaking a tree, and you need to get several things out of the tree just to capture anything that might be falling out. Packing material to reduce fruit damage and transport from the field, maybe even just a couple of towels or something, because maybe you're Rolinia, you're bringing in enough and you don't want them all bruised. So get them carefully, delicately out of the field so that they can get into the mouths of your ohana.
Yes, you know, typically shaking the tree is not my favorite way to harvest fruit, but that's what we're doing right here, right now, with our listeners. We are shaking the tree. So thanks so much for responding and calling in and helping us get to our goal of $800. We just so appreciate it. We're all lit up, just like our phones.
Oh, and we do have a caller's question. A good place for organic compost. Well, it's out of your compost pile, of course. Looking for bulk material from the east side, well, Heart and Soul Organics and Garden Island Disposal are two capable places that
right.
will bring material to your place, or you can go pick it up as well.
Although it sounds a little gnarly, Garden Island Disposal being the garbage company, they actually are just hauling it. They're not creating it out of the trash or anything. It's just that they're the haulers, so that's who you call to get the stuff from the Poipu area that's out there, and it's quite nice.
Sorry.
Depending on how aged it is, it's a pretty beautiful product.
Awesome. We want to let people know a couple announcements before we say goodbye. The Hawaii Farmers Union United Monthly Potluck Meeting is coming up next Wednesday, October 15th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at the Anahola Clubhouse. There'll be a focus on making and using organic insecticides, thanks to Ray Maki, the chapter president. The Korean Natural Farming IMO Pig and Cow Report from Jenny Rizzuti and Ned Whitlock. Great farmers here on Kauai we've had on the show right here in the studio. And great member discounts coming up for the Hawaii Farmers Union. There'll be information about that. We also want to let people know that there's an international specialist on vetiver grass installations coming to Kauai October 14th through the 19th, offering free site consultations. So you can be in touch with him at vetiverfarmshawaii.com or by calling 808-756-6872. Boy, that's not exactly right. So why don't you, there's an extra number in there. Vetiverfarmshawaii.com. Great website. Check it out. And
we had another couple callers, and we have broke our goal. So thank you so much.
Yay.
We'll get the thank you list out here in a second.
Yes, indeed. We're so grateful to all of the listeners keeping us on the air. And, you know, we always run out of time before we get to say all the details we'd like to share with you here on In the Garden on the Farm. But we have next week, so long as you guys keep us on air. You're doing it. We're making it. We're making it through. And it's due to your generosity. So we love you guys very much. And here's a great list of super people who've helped us out. Hikari, Harvest, John... John from Princeville, John from Kapa'a, Baba, Buffy, and Sally.
And
you guys are superstars in our world.
Yeah, you guys hit your goal for the show, so pat yourselves on the back, pat your listeners on the back.
Thank you. We're really proud to be standing strong with you here at KKCR. Mahalo. And stay tuned right now for Kauai Vibrations. Looks like we got plenty of people up to the mic. Should I play a song, or should we just... We're going to play a song. So why don't you check this out? We're going to invite you to listen again next week to more stimulating conversation on our relationship with the life of the land that gives us life. Aloha.
Aloha and mahalo.